Hello, everyone, and I'm glad that I'm able to bring this message to you, even though we're not together today. So please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. Bob Woods in the Pulpit Digest tells the story of a couple who took their son, 11, and daughter, 7, to Carlsbad Caverns. As always, when the tour reached the deepest point in the cavern, the guide turned off all the lights to dramatize how completely dark and silent it is below the earth's surface. The little girl, suddenly enveloped in utter darkness, was frightened and began to cry. Immediately, the voice of her brother was heard as he said, "Don't cry. Somebody here knows how to turn on the lights." And in a real sense, that is the message of the gospel. Light is available even when darkness seems overwhelming. Right now, the darkness and uncertainty of what we are all going through can feel overwhelming. But thanks be to God that the light is available through Christ. And even in the midst of dark times, we can have confident hope because of Christ's work. It's Good Friday today, and though our Good Friday looks different this year, it doesn't make it any less good. Maybe you're listening or watching this and you're thinking, what is Good Friday? Good Friday is the day that we remember Jesus Christ's death on the cross for us. Now, of course, we remember his death many, many other days, but this is simply a holiday set apart to have a special focus on it. So let's read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures." Right before this verse, Paul wanted to remind his readers of the gospel, which is the good news. And as you look at this verse, you see first the reliability of the gospel. The gospel that Paul proclaims isn't some made-up fairy tale, but he has delivered to the Corinthians what he has received. And this is crucial for us to reflect upon. The gospel that we have heard and that we share doesn't come from an unreliable source. It's not like it's fake news, but it is good, real, truthful, historical news. And Paul makes it clear that this isn't something he made up while laying in his bed at night. This message has been given to Paul from not only the other apostles who witnessed Christ's death, but from Jesus himself on the road to Damascus. This gospel isn't Paul's gospel that he made up. This isn't Pastor Matt Brown's gospel that I made up, but we have received it. Charles Spurgeon said, "Notice that the preacher does not make the gospel. If he makes it, it is not worth your having. Originality in preaching, if it be originality in the statement of doctrine, is falsehood. We are not makers and inventors, but repeaters. We tell the message we have received." Therefore, the message that he's about to describe is reliable. But this message is also very important. Paul says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance." The good news of Jesus Christ is of primary importance because it involves salvation. It entails our eternal destinies. It has cosmic significance. And to ignore or to neglect it would be to disregard or downplay something of first importance. And this is why we must always teach, preach, remember, reflect upon, cherish Christ's work on the cross. May we never abandon this teaching. May we never demote it to a lower spot because of neglect or familiarity, but may we see it as a matter of first importance, as priority. And what's the content? What's the content of the gospel, of this message that Christ died? A very important part of the gospel is that Christ died. And the fact that he died reminds us that the gospel that Paul proclaims isn't merely this kind of symbolic literature meant to just inspire positivity, but it's real. It's historical. Jesus Christ actually died. He had a physical body. He physically died. And this event is part of history. He suffered greatly in his body as he was tortured and humiliated and spit upon. He gave up his life. Even the Roman soldiers didn't break his legs because they realized he's dead. Roman soldiers would be good at making sure someone's dead. Christ died. But why is that important? I mean, people die all the time, right? Well, Jesus didn't die a meaningless death, but he died for a purpose. He died, as the verse says, for our sins. Jesus is the perfect, sinless Son of God who came to this earth and died for our sins. He became sin who knew no sin. And since he was both God and man, then he was perfect. And he was the only one who could pay for our sins. You see, our sin, it separates us from God because he's holy. But not only does our sin separate us from God, but it actually deserves punishment and the wrath of God. And that's where Jesus comes in. He took on flesh like us. He took our sins upon himself. He took our place and he died for our sins. So do you know what that means? It means he took your punishment. He took God's wrath for your sin upon himself. He became your substitute. This is truly the heart of the good news of the gospel. It was his life for ours. Tim Keller said the gospel is that Jesus Christ came to earth, lived the life that we should have lived, and died the death that we should have died. That's grace. What mercy, what love. J. Allen Peterson gave the story of the small boy who was just consistently late coming home from school. His parents warned him one day that he must be home on time that afternoon, but nevertheless, he arrived later than ever. His mother met him at the door and said nothing. At dinner that night, the boy looked at his plate. There was a slice of bread and a glass of water. He looked at his father's full plate and then at his father, but his father remained silent. The boy was crushed. The father waited for the full impact to sink in. And then quietly he took the boy's plate and placed it in front of himself. He took his own plate of meat and potatoes and put it in front of the boy and smiled at his son. And when that boy grew up to be a man, he said, "All my life I've known God is like what God is like by what my father did that night." And that's like Christ, who is loving and who took our sin when he did nothing wrong. Christ died for our sins, and Paul adds, according to the scriptures. You see, Christ's death wasn't a mistake. It didn't catch God off guard, but it was done in accordance with the scriptures. The cross was God's plan from the beginning. Even you go back to Genesis 3, and the seed of the woman is promised to crush the head of Satan. All throughout the Old Testament, there were prophecies and promises concerning the one to come. Just read through Isaiah 53 and you get the clear message that there was someone to come that would be despised and rejected by men. He would be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. But by his sacrificial death, we would be healed, given peace with God, and he would make us to be accounted as righteous. Christ's death was most definitely in accordance with the scriptures. We needed a Savior. God promised a Savior in the scriptures, and Jesus Christ accomplished and fulfilled those promises. He perfectly accomplished God's plan, prophecies, and promises. He is the Savior that we need. Christ's death is a big part of the gospel, but of course that's not the end. He was buried and He rose again on the third day. He conquered death. He lives forevermore, and that's what we celebrate on Easter. Our Daily Bread gives a story. An Englishman by the name of Ebenezer Wooton had just concluded a preaching service in the village square. The crowd had dispersed, and he was busily engaged in loading the equipment. A young man approached him and asked, "Mr. Wooton, what must I do to be saved?" Sensing that the fellow was trusting his own righteousness, Wooton answered in a rather unconcerned way, "It's too late." The inquirer was startled. "Oh, don't say that, sir." But the evangelist insisted, "It's too late." Then looking the young man in the eye, he continued, "You want to know what you must do to be saved. I tell you, it's too late now or any other time. The work of salvation is done, completed. It is finished. It was finished on the cross." And then he explained that our part is simply to acknowledge our sin and receive by faith the gift of forgiveness. The work of salvation is done. It's completed. It's finished on the cross. So have you responded in faith? In order to be forgiven and given eternal life, the Bible tells us that we simply must acknowledge, repent of our sins, and believe in Christ. It's so easy to put something off, but this is not what you should put off. You don't know what the rest of the day will bring, let alone tomorrow. So respond in faith to your gracious and loving Savior who died for you. For those who have responded in faith, use this time as once again a time to remember and cherish the gospel. Christ died for you. He was buried and He rose again. You have forgiveness and eternal life because of His sacrificial death. So always remember His sacrifice, rejoice in His accomplishment, and rest in His finished work. Let's pray. Dear good and gracious Father, we thank You for sending Jesus to this earth, sending Him for a purpose, to die for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. We're so thankful for Your love, but also His love. His obedience that He would go and die for us. And so help us to be thankful today. In Christ's name, amen.